The Bible very plainly tells us in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's where we were. Where were we before we were born again? That's a very important understanding. We were dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Full of the devil, that's what we were. Some were a little sweeter with it. Some were a whole lot sweeter with it, and some were pretty mean with it. But before you knew Jesus, we were all headed for hell. Among whom also we all had our conversation. That's why sinners talk like they do. In times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The flesh and the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Road rage. People are angry today. They're mad. They're angry. They're fired up. You know, it doesn't take much to get something going in the wrong direction. But God. I could stay right there. But God. Thank you. You're preaching with me now. God, who is rich in mercy. Can you shout mercy? Thank God for mercy. For his great love. Not just love, great love. Wherewith he loved us. He loved me. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're going to spend eternity with our landlord's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There is an explosion on the thought and subject of grace. And yet, what I've already read this morning really encompasses most of anything, the general essence of what could be said about grace. We are saved by grace through faith. Mercy, grace, faith. It's the way we're saved. So the Bible tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sin. We walked wrong. Our conversation was wrong. We fulfilled the lust of the flesh. We were fulfilling the lust of our minds and our flesh. By nature, we were the children of wrath. But God. Now this is very plainly stated. We were a mess before we were saved. Some look like they were a better mess or not as bad as others. But one bullet will take you out. Now let's go over to Titus, the second chapter. And we were there last Sunday morning. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. You know, when you've been doing what I've been doing as long as I've been doing it, you see all kinds of extremes, and the pendulum is always swinging one way too far or swinging the other way too far. And what's kept me in the middle of the road, what's kept me going on for God, is I don't get caught up with the doctrine of the month club. I don't get caught up in people's tangents. Stay in godly balance. So, you know, you could read that verse in Ephesians and say It's faith and nothing else has to do with it. Or you can say it's grace and nothing else has to do with it. Or it's mercy and nothing else has to do with it. It's all of it. It's all of it. But everything is by faith. Everything is by faith. Everything that we receive from God is by faith. But he said, speak the things which become sound doctrine. The aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not... tell the truth. Encountered a little bit of that here lately. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keeper at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. I noticed that before. Be good to your own husband. That's where you get in trouble, being good to someone else's husband. Be good to your own husband. It's the way you keep the train on the track. That the word of God be not blasphemed. All right, straight ahead here. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Now, folks, listen to me. Works won't save you. But if you save, you go have some good works. And it's not performance. See where that pendulum swings? Well, I don't have to do nothing. Excuse me. 2/3 of the Pauline epistles say there's some things we need to be doing. Not to get saved, but because I am saved. Fruits of being born again. You know a peach tree by the peaches. You know an apple tree by the apples. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? There you go. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Good works won't save you. But you know, a real, genuine, born-again, especially spirit-filled believer, they just have a pattern of doing the right thing because that's Jesus inside of them. Called the fruits of the Spirit. You want to do right. It doesn't mean we always do right, but basically you want to do the right thing. And if we miss it, why, we'll repent and we'll dust ourselves up off and we'll move forward. So here he said, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, our words, life and death and the power of the tongue, right? That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And so what God's saying, don't let your good be evil spoken of. I mean, live and walk and talk and conduct business and the way you handle yourself, that the world cannot look at you and say, there's another one of those hypocrites. At least you do your part and God will take care of the rest of it. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. Boy, that's something needs to be said today. And to please them well in all things, not answering again. Don't be sassing your boss. That's where you keep your job. I used to have a staff that had a sign on the desk, blessed are the peacemakers, they'll always have a job. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, and that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. For the grace of God, see, we got here to the grace, here we are. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, thank God, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. So there are some things to do. There's some things not to do. Word of God's plain on that. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, more than once good works have appeared here. And that's not my message this morning. That's a side trail. But the Word of God's very plain. Grace is very plain. Good works are very plain. Faith is very plain. Mercy is very plain. All of it's very plain. It's all part of it. And thank God it's a part of us. And we're a part of it. And then finally, in that second chapter of Titus, he said in verse 15, these things speak. That's what I'm doing. Exhort. That's what I'm in the process of doing. And rebuke, if it's needed. With all authority. I am instructed by the Scriptures to have all authority in telling the truth. As long as I'm telling you the truth, I have all authority. I speak, I exhort, and let no man despise thee. Oh, there's just so much meat here that's before us. But you know, as we look at the grace of God, the Bible said the grace of God teaches us. That means there's something. Oh, listen, write it down. The grace of God teaches us means there are a lot of other things we need to know. We just enrolled in the school of grace when we're born again. But there's a lot of other things that we need to be taught. And that's why we need to go to church. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to read the Word of God. That's why we need to submit ourselves to godly people, not to Looney Tunes, but I mean to godly people. Amen. We need to be responsible people. That's what the Word of God says. And so there is a reason that we need to do what we're doing. There's a reason that we should go to church. There's a reason why we should give and read the Word of God and attend and support a New Testament church. There's a reason why we need a New Testament shepherd. It's amazing how many people, no one can speak into their life. Been a few times along the way when someone said, if you ever see me out of line, speak to me. I did, and I brought back two fingers less. That's called dog bit. All right. It said the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, which is wickedness, to deny worldly lust, a longing for what is forbidden, evil desires, the spirit of this world. Listen, there are things we don't do because it's of the spirit of this world. There are things we don't look at because it's of the spirit of this world. Not only does God say don't look at it, but because it's of the spirit of this world. We're not of the spirit of this world. We're of the spirit of God. And it affects who we run with, who our friends are, who we're best friends with. So the spirit of Babylon that I spoke to you about, I've mentioned two or three times. First 11 chapters of Genesis, once the fall came, the spirit of Babylon set in until man literally was going to build a tower of Babel. It's called the Tower of Babel. And man was going to mix his own bricks. And that's what's happening in too much of religion today. Man's mixing his own bricks. And he said, I'm going to go do what I do in my own strength, mixing my own bricks. Folks, we're not here to mix our bricks. We're here to stand on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And man said, we're going to mix bricks and we're going to go to the heavens and we're going to pull God down. But God showed up and that ruins the party every time. When God showed up in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was over, honey. It was over. To live soberly with sound mind and modesty. To live righteously, Titus is talking about. To live godly, as demonstrated here in the Word of God. To do all that is all of this right now in this present world. Literally right now. You know, when you get to heaven, you don't have to think about these things. It's just all going to be there. You won't need a new mind in heaven. Praise God, you'll have that. We're all on the same page. To look for that blessed hope, to anticipate the expectation of Jesus coming. Now here's what I sort of summarizing. I know I'm throwing a lot of truth out here, but thank God we're saved. Thank God we're saved. Thank God we're saved. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Word of God said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I said last Sunday, when we are born again, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Now, some of you have heard this, and you know it backwards and forwards. You've heard it, especially you Bible school students. If you've been in Calvary Cathedral Bible College, you've heard these truths. If you've been around this church very long, you've heard the truths that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. I can sin, but I'm not an old sinner. I'm a young saint. When we're born again, we are new creations. We are made to be new creations in Christ Jesus. The old life, every sin, every wrongdoing, every wrong thought, every wrong deed is under the blood of Jesus. And there is therefore now no condemnation. None. None. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're born again. Now you say, why does that mean so much? You know, you hear me talk about a lot about my upbringing, and I wouldn't trade anything for it. The only thing that I would trade would be this. Thank God I was raised in an evangelical atmosphere. Thank God I was raised to hear good evangelists, and I had some wonderful pastoring, and you know, I just thank God for the home where I was raised. Here's the thing. Here's the problem that so many of us suffered with, and some of you know what I'm talking about the minute I say it. We knew how to get saved, but we didn't know how to stay saved. And that'll drive you nuts. That'll send you up the wall. That means you'll answer every altar call if you have a tender heart. I'm not being critical. I was one of those. No evangelist suffered for a convert, I'd be down there. And just like the old Church of God preacher said years ago, I heard him say, bless God, if the only way you're going to get to heaven is to ride the altar, get you a good saddle, put it on the altar, and that's your spot, and get on that altar and ride it to heaven. But listen to me. We can tell you how to get saved, and how to get resaved, and how to get recycled and resaved, but we couldn't tell you how to stay saved and to relax and enjoy the journey while you got busy about winning souls and serving God. You were so busy trying to keep you saved. You were so busy trying to keep you out of hell. You were so busy trying to keep you on the track. Some of you know very well what I'm talking about. Thank God we knew how to get saved. But always somebody told us early how to about Romans chapter 8. And you know the thing I'll never forget when I really turned my life to the Lord. I mean, you know the accident we talk about and I turned my life completely to the Lord. The first thing God revealed to me was Romans chapter 8. And I devoured it. That there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now you walk after the flesh, and there's some stuff going to bug you. We all can sin. We all can miss it. But you see, here's the thing. We're born again. The emphasis that should be in the church of God today, every true New Testament church, should be this. Once you are born again, now we turn to flowing with what God taught us, how that our minds can be renewed and our bodies can be presented. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And some people say there's absolutely nothing for you to do after salvation. Well, you're on your way to heaven, but the Spirit of God helped me to say something that I'm going to say the rest of my life in ministry. What I'm trying to teach you this morning and last Sunday morning is simply this. You can be going to heaven But you can be going through hell on your way going to heaven. I want to say that again. Though you're on your way to heaven on this earth, see, the Bible tells us how to go to heaven with heaven in our hearts. How we can enjoy the journey. How we can shout the high praises of God. But as a for instance, if you don't treat your wife right, I'm telling you, you're going to have some hell on your way to heaven. You don't treat your husband right, I guarantee you, you're going to have some hell on your way to heaven. And don't blame it on God. Don't say, I'm being persecuted. So the Bible tells us very plainly, husbands, love your wives. Don't just go to bed with your wife. Love your wife. Love your wife. Highly esteem her. Honor her. And it works both ways. Husbands are to love their wives, and wives are to love their husbands. That's the way you have heaven on earth on your way to heaven. Let's say someone has an abusive type of personality, and they're mean-spirited, and whoever they deal with, someone says, what was their problem? You're going to go through some hell on your way to heaven because of your own attitude and because of the way you treat people. If you don't treat people right, you're going to have some hell on your way to heaven. Boy, here's one that's going to get close to you. Some of you. If you don't tell the truth. I've gone through one of those seasons. I'll tell you, if I hear one more lie, I'm thinking about putting a security guard with me so I don't punch somebody out, because I don't need to be getting in a fight right now. Talk to me. Be honest. I'm a human being. Talk to me. Just tell me the truth. Don't say this covering that. Come on, just be honest with me. So if you don't tell the truth, you may be going to heaven, and that's a borderline situation. But you're going to have some hell on your way to heaven because you've been lying and you didn't tell the truth. Do you see what I'm saying? If we don't do the basic teachings of God's Word, well, it's like school. You never study and you wonder why you bomb out on exams. You're going through hell on your exams because you're not studying. It's not the professor's fault. It's not the teacher's fault. If you never crack a book and if you won't study, if you don't prepare for the exams, you're going to flunk or make a bad grade. So, folks, what I'm saying, it's so simple. If we ignore and don't do what the Word of God said to do, and it's said by Peter, it's said by Paul, it's said by Jesus, you know, in the volume of the book, you learn. If you don't live the way, basically, I don't mean perfect, and I'm not, surely you have enough common sense to walk through this thing with me. I'm trying to help some people this morning. The Bible is given to us to teach us not only how to be born again, spirit-filled, do the works of God, but how to go to heaven and have heaven in your life on the way to going to heaven. And if you don't do what the Word said to do, you're going to experience some hell on your way to heaven. Is that the sixth time I've said that? I'll say it a lot more times. Indeed, I will. Folks, what I'm saying this morning is some of the most important truth. Oh, I know there's all kind of things we could preach, but what I'm preaching right now, this helps people. This is going to take some of you out of that bondage zone. It's going to get some of you out of that condemnation thing. He loves me. He loves me not. I'm going to heaven. No, maybe not. It lets you relax and enjoy your salvation. Oh, am I helping somebody this morning? You see, you're giving somebody a license to sin. No, you got your own license. No, I'm trying to help people. It pays. And so the pendulum swings, no grace, all works. I mean, there used to be churches in this city. I remember on Sunday night, sometimes we'd go eat at a certain place. When they walked in, all the women had on the same skirt. All the women had on the same tops. All the men had on a certain type of black suit. Everybody wore the same hat. I mean, they looked like a bunch of, I don't know what they looked like. I mean, it's like you had to have a uniform to be born again. And if women didn't wear their hair a certain way, there's still those, if a woman ever cuts her hair, she's going to hell. Now some of you say, oh, you're far out. No. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm a church kid and you can't fake me out. I know what time of day it is. So what I'm saying is, there's things you'd be better off if you did or you didn't do. I mean, there's some folks obviously don't believe in taking many baths, but you know, woo! It's sure a lot nicer to be around folks that believe in that, you know. There are so many religious no-nos, you don't really see them, listen, you don't really see them and hear them today because more and more churches, like Calvary Cathedral, has been through the years, we're telling you the truth about these things. But folks, these things have kept many people in bondage for years. For years. I mean, it's like it is in other lands. I mean, the man's walking down the road like a strutting peacock, and his poor beaten down wife is behind him. Man, that embarrassed me. I don't mean to be unkind. I want my wife by my side. I don't want her behind me. I want my wife by my side. I want her to be where I can put my arm around her. Praise God. Hallelujah. But here's the thing that God wants us, I really believe that God wants us to key into. Romans the 12th chapter, if you turn with me to Romans the 12th chapter. There's also this thing nowadays that says going to church is performance. Going to church is works. If you go into the wrong church, it is, or it could be. If you go into the wrong place, it could be. But you see, you get away from church, you get away from a pastor shepherd who really loves you, who will tell you the truth, not just try to save you. And then it's so easy not to pay your tithe. It's so easy to live any way you want to. It's so easy to punch that button and turn that screen off. And thank God, through streaming, there are people that are seeing this service that could not be in a church service without it. I know it's been a blessing to me when I had to miss some services because of surgery and so on here just recently. But here's the thing. The Word of God did say, and I'll be to that 12th chapter in a moment, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, so much the more as the day is approaching. I will not back off of anybody. I've been doing this long enough. I've studied the Word long enough. I've walked it out. I've lived it. We've never had a scandal. We've been a church that tries to live above reproach in every way, form, or fashion. But I will not back off. If it's at all physically possible for you to be in a house of God, and there comes a time when, bless their hearts, there are people because of age or because of health, or I mean, and God understands that, no condemnation. But while you can, we need to come together. You need to see my eyes, and I need to see your eyes. I need to see you, and you need to see me. You need to know and hear. And you say, oh, I wish I could know Pastor better. If you listen to me preach, you'll know everything you need to know about me. And anything else is none of your business. Because pastors have a way of telling it all if you listen to them long enough. They'll tell it all if you just listen to them long enough. But we need one another. I said, we need one another. We need to come to the house of God. We need to be in the presence of God. We need to worship together. We need to encourage one another. And you know, you get weird hanging out by yourself. Really, you do. Anybody does. You get weird hanging out by yourself. You need to be around right on people who can give you right on instruction, right on love, and as this church is constantly doing, right on help in ways that you really need help. That's what a New Testament church is all about. That's what it's all about. But here's what we need to do. Saved, born again, but there's two areas of you. We need one of those highway signs. Did you ever see the sandwich sign? You know, they had, in New York, they have that a lot. You know, they have a kind of a, on the front it says something, and then on the back it says something. One fellow was in New York. He said, "I'm a fool for Christ." Everybody was just slapping their knee. They thought that was the funniest thing. On the back it said, "Whose fool are you?" Yeah. But you know what we ought to have? We ought to have a sign that says, "Under construction." Because after all, some people say, "Well, as long as you've pastored, you ought to know it all." No, no, no. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I learn every day. I grow every day. And the same with all of us. We're under construction. Our mind is under construction. Our bodies are under construction. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Is that performance? No. Act like God. Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Two areas there. Your bodies and your minds. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can you find anything wrong with what is good, acceptable, and perfect in God's sight? Can't improve on that. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I could read on many verses, but, you know, folks, I've given you enough gospel that this word touches my heart, that I've read to you from Titus 2, and that we've read from 2 Corinthians 5:17, and now through Romans 12. Here is why we need the house of God. We need a New Testament church. We need a New Testament pastor and staff to help us and to help us in our Christian walk so that you can enjoy heaven on your way to heaven. So that on your way to heaven, you don't have to wake up every morning wondering whether I'm saved or not. And so, you know, no sin, no sin, no sin. Come on. The area where sin happens is in the mind and the body. My spirit is born again perfect before God. But a runaway mind or a runaway body will get you in trouble. I'm saying something very significant. This could be one of the most important messages that God's ever instructed me to bring. See, my spirit is brand new, but now my mind and my body is under construction. And that's where we need to grow in grace. And as we come, you read the Word, you're in the presence of God, and you're in the presence of the precious Holy Spirit of God, and you become an overcomer. And, you know, I discovered, I never knew I could live victorious. Hallelujah. You say, "Are you perfect?" No, but I'm closer than I used to be. I'm still a long way from perfect, but I'm a long way from where I was when I really committed my life to the Lord. And I've learned to tell my body, "No! You're not going to do that." I've learned to tell my mind, "Shut up. We're not going to think that way. in the name of Jesus, I command you out of my thought process. See, the more words you get in you, the quicker you are to spring when the enemy comes in like a fly. If you don't have any word in you and you're not around a New Testament church. Now, on this grace thing, there's some people that absolutely have no concept of grace. Wrong swing. There's some people that have such a concept of grace that I can sleep with anybody's wife I want to sleep with. I can sleep with any woman I want to sleep with, or it could go the other way. I can do whatever I want to do. It doesn't make any difference where I sleep, what I drink, what I do, how I live. Wrong. You can't make the Word of God say that. Yeah, you could, but you'd be wrong. Folks, it does make a difference how we think. It does make a difference how we do business. It does make a difference what bed you sleep in. It does make a difference what beverage you consume. It does make a difference where we go. If God saved you out of an alcohol problem, you don't go to the bar and hang out. If God delivered you from pornography, you don't go out to the girly places to witness. Yeah, right. You're going to witness. Yeah, you're going to witness. So how many want to go to heaven in heaven? Heaven in our home. Heaven in our relationships. Heaven in our business life. Heaven in our personal life. We want to experience heaven on our way to heaven. You know, this is so simple. And I hear, I'm not into works. I'm not into works to be saved either. I've never preached that. This church has never preached that. But I'm not into performance. Well, if you know Jesus, you're going to do some things like Jesus did. I mean, that's a given. That shouldn't be a tough one to handle. As poor as the Dallas Cowboys sometimes may play, you get somebody out on that field who doesn't know how to play football, and boy, can you spot it. You can spot a good hockey player. You can spot a good basketball player. You can spot a good football player. They know what to do on the field. And somebody that doesn't know what to do, they're going to get hurt out there. And that's what God's trying to teach us. Don't get hurt in the battle of life. Don't get hurt in the game of life. Do what God said to do. Win the victory. And this is where we become more blessed in our finances. This is where our marriages become blessed in a greater way. This is where we're able to raise children in a way that's proper. And I saw at one of the restaurants, they said something about, we love kids too, but if you turn your kids loose, what did they say we're going to do? We're going to give them an extra shot of espresso and give them all a puppy. That's going to be your penalty for letting your kid run free in that restaurant. I didn't see any kids running free in the restaurant when I was there. Amen and amen. Now see, here's the thing. When I know I'm born again, and my mind is being renewed in the Word of God, I'm learning how to push aside that extra piece of pie sometimes, or all the time if I need to, and do the things that I'm supposed to. When my mind does what the Word of God's telling me to do, when my body does what's best for my body, then I can settle down and enjoy the journey. Everybody understand? I can enjoy the journey. Now I'm free to win souls, because I go to win that soul and say, uh-oh, am I really saved? So now I sit here and have a pity party about whether I'm born. He loves me not, and I don't go win that soul. If I know I'm born again, I'm free to go win souls. If I know Jesus loves me, I'm free to go tell someone else Jesus loves them. If I'm doing what God said to do, then I'm set free. Thank God Almighty, free at last. That's what God wants the church to say. We're not free to do the wrong thing. We're not free to drink the wrong thing or sleep in the wrong place or whatever else it may be. But we're free to serve God. We're free to live life. And on our way to heaven, we're living in a measure of heaven on earth.